The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You're listening to the Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm here with Dougie Sunshine at DAgentson23 and Juan the Vibes Guy at Juan on MLB. I'm your host tonight, Matthew Holmes. You can find me on X at MLB at Matt. And we're coming live after a nice little Red Sox win at Fenway. We don't see too many of those, so we're going to enjoy this one. Let's start with a quick heat check on the game in general. Dougie, get your thoughts.
I think it was, a lot about the pitching matchup, right? Like you said before we started, that's their third matchup now, two young pitchers, two guys that look like they'll be going against each other for a long time. And it was, they both pitched well, they both let up some runs, although Schittler, no earned runs out of all those runs, but, I think it was a lot about the pitching and, can the Red Sox find a way to finally beat them and they finally got through, they finally got that monkey off their back with Schittler.
Now, I've got to tell you, Terry's not happy with me. He said I kind of ruined the vibes for the weekend. Of course, we're kind of rooting for the Red Sox to lose. And I picked against them the entire weekend. And they go out and they prove me wrong again, as we were talking about before the show, the AL favorite to win the Cy Young and Cam Schittler. I mean, even if it's unearned, they were able to put up runs early, struggled early, but, kind of picked things up. And this has been his MO as well as Toley as well. So just being able to see him compose himself against a team like the Yankees is a really good sign for the future. So just, happy that we got the win. And, hey, never know with this team. You just never know.
Certainly. I mean, it's been a tough year. We're almost at the point where we're celebrating losses more than wins. But, a win against the Yankees is always welcome. I think we definitely don't want to give in, even if we are in last place. We never want to give in against the Yankees. I'm really pumped for Connelly early tonight. Like you said, Juan got into some trouble early, pitched out of some jams as he normally does. But I believe this is the third time that him and Schittler have faced off now. And they're both only in their second season. So the first time last year was in that game three of the wild card game where Early probably should not have been starting. Schittler had been pitching better, certainly earned that spot. And we all know what he did, right? He made history and everybody remembers that start. They don't really remember Early starting on the other side, who got into some trouble, got pulled early, I believe. And, wasn't a terrible performance, but again, we were asking a lot of a guy in his sixth major league start at the time last year. And then they faced off earlier this year. And Connelly did not pitch great against the Yankees. Obviously, Schittler continues to deal against us. I mean, even those three runs we got against him, all unearned, they pretty much gave us a few. But, yeah, I'm kind of pumped for Connelly. Just feels like it's a mini budding rivalry right in between the quote-unquote Red Sox-Yankees rivalry right now with those two guys facing off, two young talents. And it kind of gives me early vibes of potential – Kershaw versus Bumgarner type of rivalry or matchup that we used to always see between the Dodgers and the Giants back in the day, where felt like those guys were always facing off against each other a couple times a year, ran into each other in the playoffs. And one guy in Kershaw had all the personal accolades, the Cy Youngs, the MVPs, all the great pitching statistics. But then Bumgarner had the rings, right? He had the jewelry. Right. And so maybe we can get the Bumgarner piece out of that deal and eventually get early in October. But no, he pitched well tonight. I thought definitely gave us a chance to win. Six innings, nine strikeouts. I'm not sure if you guys know this, but they mentioned this. I had to watch on the Yankees broadcast. Candidly, it was not too bad. I think I enjoyed it a little more than the Red Sox guys. But tonight marked the fourth straight game that the Red Sox starter has given you nine or more strikeouts. right? Going back to Jake Bennett with 9 Ks versus the Rockies, then Gray 11.
Ranger
with 9 yesterday and Connolly with 9 today. That's the first time in franchise history, which is a little surprising, but we'll take it. I mean, all the history we've been making offensively, that is a pretty cool statistic. So, yeah, outside of some trouble in that first inning with some lefty killers there, you know, Goldschmidt just putting together professional at-bats, just a tough out. He took Schuble deep twice yesterday, so you can consider that a victory, keeping him in the ballpark. He took one off the monster. And then Rosario, Ahmed Rosario, just a known lefty killer, kind of Ref Snyder-like, but an infielder, right? Just always mashing lefties. So got out of trouble, gave up that one run, and then the long ball to Caballero. It happens, you know. But, no, they get enough runs in the end, and he, I guess, outduels Schlittler, but finally gets a win on the board against the Yankees. We finally hand Schlittler a loss, so it was definitely nice to see. Anything else that you guys noticed from the pitching matchup there? I mean, both guys were dealing, Schlittler and Early. We can talk about either here.
They were, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, and I thought about this after the game, imagine the pressure that Early or Tolley are going into these games, having the feeling that they have to be perfect. And I've said this in previous episodes, compared to Schlittler, knowing the type of team. I know Judge is not there. I know Stanton is not there, but you still have a solid organization. They know how to put a team together. So he's going out there and he feels free. He feels like, hey, I just got to focus on me. I know I'm going to get enough runs to be able to win games. That pressure that's on these two pitchers, and I know that Tolley is going to go out there against the Yankees, is something that you have to obviously think about when you're, you know, critiquing these guys. And the fact that he just went out there, despite having the first inning that he had, and kind of just, you know, hey, let me put that behind me. Let me lock in. And that's exactly what he did. So, again, for me, I'm just proud of the work that he did out there against this, again, the best team in the American League, the New York Yankees, right? So just really, really excited to see what Tolley is going to do. I know we're going to talk about the other matches towards the end, but you love to see this. You love to see this against good teams. And, of course, our offense, I don't care if it's, you know, via error. You put the ball in play, you never know what could happen. That's something that I always talk about in my softball league. I know it's not baseball, but just put the ball in play. And let's see what can happen. That's exactly what you do in Major League Baseball when you're not considered a home run hitting team. So guess what? It's going to be via the singles. It's going to be via the bunt singles, just putting the ball in play and just trying to see what happens. And that's exactly what happened tonight against the Yankees.
And via catcher's interference, right? Like Abreu in the first.
You take it. You take it.
Via getting, you know, hit by a pitch with the bases loaded.
Yeah, thank God we had a review there, and we turned around by the jersey, and we'll take that insurance run, and we got another one after that. So, absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right, Juan, right? Good things happen when you put the ball in play.
Yeah.
And it feels like this is a game that you have to win against the Yankees. I mean, I know we have the worst record in the American League, the second worst record in baseball, only behind the Rockies, who just beat us in a series. So, but the Yankees come in a little banged up. They're without their MVP and Judge. They're without Stanton. And you're going against their best pitcher, but you're playing at home, and this is the time to get them while they're a little bit injured, a little bit nicked up. And on top of that, they made 4 errors. So you have to make that pay. I mean, it felt like we had runners on every inning there. And then Schlittler just turned on, he decided he wanted to pitch, turned on the gas a little bit, and then just started K-ing everybody when he needed to. So eventually though, the defense, gave us too many opportunities and we made it hurt. It was nice to see Durbin hit a home run. We'll get into that in a minute. One note just on Schlittler. I know this is a Red Sox podcast, but what he's been doing is super impressive, not only against the Red Sox, but against the entire league. They flashed a stat tonight that I just felt like was worth sharing. I mean, this guy is not going anywhere, guys. Unfortunately, he's here to stay. And I don't know through how many starts, but it's a guy to start his career with a 2.25 ERA or less and over 150 strikeouts. Only 4 guys on the list: Fernando Valenzuela of the Dodgers, Jose Fernandez, RIP, from the Miami Marlins, guy by the name of Paul Skeens, and Cam Schlittler. Only 4 guys to do it. So like I said, this guy's not going anywhere. It was good to finally overcome him and get a W against him tonight, because even though he gave up those 300 runs, he was dealing. So always good to get a win, especially against the Yankees. And like I mentioned before, Durbin putting one under the monster, had a nice little bloop single in there too, 2 for 3 with that pop-up single.
Yeah.
And then he popped one right over the monster, which hey, got to give him the offensive player of the game, if not player of the game tonight. Juan, we'll start with you. What's your thoughts on Durbin there?
I mean, I gave him credit on, I think on Monday. It was on a Monday, and I gave him credit because I was one of those that, I mean, this was the pivot to Alex Bregman, right? Like, this was the guy, and he's proven everybody wrong. He's, you know, batting over 300 in his last 22 games. He's batting over 300, OPS over 900. Defensively, he's elite and has to be in the conversation for Gold Glove at third base. And guys, he wasn't supposed to play today. He had that dislocated finger, the left pinky, just a few days ago, and he wasn't supposed to play, and yet he goes out there. Yeah, exactly.
He slid in the first.
Mm-hmm, and yet he goes out there and he performs the way that he did. So this is an advice for every other Red Sox player. Follow Caleb Durbin. Go outside of the organization. Go find yourself a good hitting coach that can fix the swing, can find something in your swing, because guess what? That's what Durbin did. And since then, he's been great for the Red Sox.
It can't be a coincidence, right? I mean, the moment he went and worked with the stories about him working with these guys, you know, in Waltham, kind of right outside the city, and he just starts hitting, and he's actually got some power. He's kind of looking like the guy that we thought we were getting, you know, left from last year's Milwaukee team. He's starting to show that, and he's still very young. He's a young player, and you're right. At third base, I mean, he's been phenomenal. You know, and he's been getting hits for us in big spots. He probably has a couple go-ahead home runs, you know, in the last month or so. So, you know, as bad as he was to start, you know, because his average is still only like 220 or not even, right? But with as good as he's been doing, but you know, he's starting to look like a real big league player.
Yeah, it's great to see him improving. The average is starting to tick up a little bit. The defense has always been there, but we know what the stretch was to start the season. And you're right. As soon as he started working with those guys outside of the team, I don't really care how he's doing it. I'll take the hits right now. It's a game of adjustments, and kudos to him for starting to figure it out and really leading the charge here offensively. We've been starving for offense. It's nice to see him step up. Sadon continues to step up with a walk, another base hit tonight. Durbin, he dislocated his pinky yesterday, right? Diving into first base, probably not the best decision in the world, but I guess we'll give him an A just for hustle there, right? It's a hustle play. We'll take it, even if it does slow you down. They mentioned that it was just dislocated. Boom, popped it right back into place, and he's back in the lineup tonight. So a little bit of grit, a little bit of toughness. We could use it. Some guys on the team, those intangibles of grit and toughness have been in question. So nice to see Durbin play tonight. I guess we can't really question his toughness tonight. And Maverick 987 agrees with you too. Juan, Durbin's been playing amazing the last couple of weeks. So we can't say the same for everybody else in the offense though, right? I think in particular, one guy who had a big impact in yesterday's game on the defensive side of the ball, but offensively, man, Marcelo Meyer just not looking like a big league hitter at this time. Juan, what do you think?
Yeah, I went back and I sort of thought about the moves that I wanted the Boston Red Sox to make over the offseason. Obviously, Ketel Marte was one of those guys that, you know, I'm from DR, so I watch him play. I watched him play during the Classic. I'm a big fan, and he's arguably the best second baseman in Major League Baseball. And we had an opportunity to get Ketel Marte. I think the Diamondbacks were asking for Marcelo Meyer. And, of course, you know, Breslow having this love for prospects, the big three, right? Obviously, Campbell being in that equation. You look back and you think about what the Red Sox could have done. They could have had Ketel Marte on this roster. I I just don't. I need to see it to believe it with Marcelo Meyer at this point, right? Because they were platooning him with IKF. If it were not for IKF's injury, we would still be platooning Marcelo Meyer. And defensively, of course, that's what he's been propped up for. He cost us the game yesterday.
Yep.
And then offensively, there's no adjustment. You look at that. I forgot what inning that was. They had bases loaded with no outs. Was it the seventh inning? Right?
Maybe. Was it against Schuyler? Right. It might have been. He came up in some big spots. I mean,
he came up second and third, no outs, and he struck out.
Oh, it was in the eighth inning. He had a bases loaded, 2-0 count, and he. Why are you swinging? You're struggling.
Right. He hit popped into out. A double play. Oh, when he.
Infield fly rule, but he ran it out.
Yeah, like at that point, like what are you doing? Yeah. You got to be able to kind of see what the situation is. He's not throwing strikes. You have to wait. You're already struggling, but yet he decides to swing and pops out. So it's not looking good for Marcelo Meyer. Obviously, we don't know what the future looks like for this organization. Are they going to go ahead and try to sell off these prospects to bring in proven guys? Or are they just going to, you know, kind of ride the wave? They've signed these guys already to extensions. But it just sucks. It sucks to see that neither of the guys that we were promised, whether it was Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Campbell, none of these guys are panning out at all. And it just doesn't look like they're going to be part of the future of this organization.
Yeah, and you see the talents there. So it is kind of alarming that they aren't developing, you know, a little bit. Yeah, maybe they're disinterested. Maybe they kind of like that they got paid. That's maybe part of it on them. But you got to look at the team as well, and you got to look at the staff. And, you know, they're doing a good job developing pitchers, sure, but they are not developing hitters at all. You know, the only guy that's having success went outside and found, you know, a different hitting coach. And it's definitely something to look at, you know, not just put on, you know, this kid looks disinterested, this kid's that. Sometimes, you know, these coaches have a job to do. And with these young players, it's to prop them up and it's to put them in the right positions to be successful. And it's to develop them, you know, and they don't look developed. They don't look any better than they did the season before. You know, obviously Campbell isn't even with the team. You know, but Meyer doesn't look any better, you know, maybe even worse considering his fielding. So it is alarming. You know, I look more at the staff kind of than the players with this, with still 20, 21 year old kids. I'm really not pointing the finger at them just yet. It's more, I think, on the staff here.
Absolutely. And I think that part of the bigger issue with the Red Sox is they want to hold on to these young guys. They don't have the system in place to help these guys develop. They just don't. And I agree with you 1,000%, which is why I've urged them to go out there and just trade away the prospects. If you're not going to change, right? If you're not going to build this thing, you know, from the ground up by literally getting rid of everyone, right? Bringing in the scouts, because we saw the reports about, you know, Breslow getting rid of the scouts, and now they're thinking about bringing scouts back. If you're not going to build this the right way, you're going to keep these guys, you know, in office. Guess what? The route to take here is to bring in proven guys, let them be who they are, because you haven't shown that you are capable of actually helping these guys grow into what we think they can be. Again, I've mentioned the names time and time again. None of these guys have panned out. And they haven't been the guys that we were promised. And part of that is what you mentioned, is the fact that they haven't been developed correctly. None of them, including Bayo, who we had to send back down to AAA and still doesn't look good.
Yeah, I've said it before, right? That the last true big leaguer that we developed was Rafi Devers, I think. You know, Sadon making a push to be the next official big leaguer that's come through our system. But that's still a decade in between those guys. And tough to argue everything you're saying about Meyer, right? I think the, you know, looks disinterested thing is kind of just his MO. I actually do think he's a ball player. And, you know, sometimes guys just look like they're not trying on the outside, but it doesn't mean that they don't care. I think of a guy like Robinson Cano, who definitely looked nonchalant out there, but was a winning ball player, was a good ball player, probably a little more talented than a guy like Marcelo Meyer. But I'll be honest, I'm not ready to give up on Meyer just yet. I think, you know, a lot of his issues and blunders and certainly the error yesterday are highlighted by the lack of experience across the lineup, across the roster right now. If this was a typical Red Sox lineup of the past where we had a lot of veterans in there, right? If you just take any of the good runs that we've had over the last two decades and, you know, 2013, we had Steven Drew in there at shortstop who basically hit 100 for the better part of the season. I think the one hit he had in the playoffs was a home run. That's Meyer, right? You can kind of build a team around a guy like that. And he, I'm looking at his numbers now, 113 games. So tonight, I think, was his 114th game. That's not even a full season in the big leagues, right? That's three quarters of a full season. He's got a lot of work to do, a lot of adjustments to make. But, you know, we can highlight that one error at short that cost us the game. But, you know, we're 14 games below 500. We can't really put the entire season on him. I think he just needs reps. I think he will be a legitimate big leaguer. And, hey, would I rather have Marte in the infield than Meyer? For sure, absolutely. But I think at this point, Meyer's not really helping his trade value right now. He's certainly not increasing it. And then, not to get too off topic, but the Diamondbacks wanted one of the arms, right? Toley and or Early in that with Meyer, right? I don't think Meyer was the problem in that deal, but some of the other guys that we've talked about, right? At least he's in there playing. It's tough to knock him when he's out there trying. You know, Roman Anthony still can't swing a bat. Christian Campbell can't even hit AAA pitching right now.
Yep.
And wouldn't you know, the guy who actually is fighting for his livelihood, fighting for his next contract, or I guess when he gets our arbitration first, that's Meyer. So I think he'll right the ship. I don't think his ceiling is a 300, you know, all-star caliber offensive player, but I think he has a plus glove. He seems to be a ball player. I think you could put him almost anywhere in the infield. Pretty good base runner. And I think if he can figure out how to hit off speed pitches, then he can be a viable bat in this league too. And, you know, he's at the bottom of my concerns, really, when it comes to issues I have with the Red Sox. And I think under different circumstances, with a better roster around him, we would all still be encouraged by him despite the numbers. Because if you're looking at it under a microscope, he makes some nice plays out there. He makes some tough plays that are difficult look pretty easy. And I hope even when Story comes back, I saw some rumors today that he thinks he can be back closer to eight weeks than to 12. So it looks like he'll be back before Roman Anthony or Crochet. But I hope that they keep personally Meyer at shortstop. It seems to be a development year across the board. Let's let him develop as a shortstop until someone who's better than him can come along. And I don't think Story's that guy right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. Put him out there every day still. And you know, there's nothing to lose. You know, even with everything we were saying about him, I still do want to see him out there every day for sure.
Yeah, I think that, unfortunately, with the way that we're running things, they're not going to run him out every day, because when IKF was out there, they weren't running him out every day. IKF was performing well. So to give credit to IKF, he was being the leader in the clubhouse and putting up his numbers. You know that there, once Story gets back, right, I think Story is going to get a chance to win back his position, which means that they're going to sit Meyer down for against lefties, even though his numbers are better against lefties than against righties. They're going to sit him down against lefties to give opportunities to Story. And then IKF eventually will be in the mix, which, again, to your point, it makes it difficult for him to develop correctly, because he's not going to have the opportunities. He's just not. So then what do you do then, right? Like at that point, if he's not going to develop correctly, he's not going to become the trade asset that you want him to be, or at least that he was during the offseason. They're going to be in a situation. I mean, obviously, they're going to have to think about a lot during the offseason, whether it's the GM, the entire roster. There's going to have to be an overhaul. But now, what are you going to do with these young guys? What are you going to do with Meyer? What are you going to do with Roman Anthony? What are you going to do with Bale, right, after the season? There's going to be a lot of questions that will need to be answered with this organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
A couple more thoughts on the offense. And, Doug, I don't know if you have any to follow up on here, but Look, we had traffic all day on the base pass, and they made some errors, but we were still 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. Meyer struck out there with the second and third situation that you mentioned, Dougie, against Schlittler, I believe, and then with the bases loaded, yeah, just on a 2-0 count, by the way, right. Popped up, couldn't get another infield. You hate to see an infield fly, just insulting. Yeah. And I still think he'll be able to figure it out, but man, 1-for-12, we continue to struggle with those runners in scoring position. Even the traffic early on, it was a catcher's interference, a hit by pitch, you know, the bloop single by Durbin. I mean, we were barely getting, we had hits, but these were barely hits. It's just continues to be an insufferable offense to watch. But the few bright spots that I find are, you know, no matter who we pencil in as a starter, it seems to be, well, at least we know this guy's going to give us a chance to win. I mean, the starters continue to deal. I mentioned before that 4 straight starts with 9 Ks. I think everybody's been going 6+ innings here this last week plus. So, again, you know, you can't ask for more out of these starting pitching. It's just, man, it feels like we can't put it all together in one game. That brings us to the next point, which is kind of the, you know, the state of the team. They showed some flash, some signs of life here. Craig Breslow said the other day, obviously, that he's not giving up on 26. What are your guys' thoughts? What's the next move here, realistically?
Oh, man, realistically, I mean, not what I would want to happen. Really what I think is going to happen is I don't think he gets fired until the off season. I think he's here. I think he thinks that he's actually right what he's saying, and then at the last second he's going to back out on that kind of, and we're going to be buyers, and he's going to look to be making a deal somewhere, probably with Chapman, you know, and he's just going to lie, right? He's just going to lie right up to the last minute. Yeah, we're sellers. I believe in this team. We're buyers. I believe in this team. You know, and then at the last second, sell. You know, sell on Chapman, sell on whoever else. And then I think he makes a crap deal. I don't think he is capable of making any type of good deals with any other team. I think other teams will take advantage of him if he does want to try to make a deal. And I think he lasts till the off season, and then I hope they smarten up in the offseason and get rid of him.
Craig Breslow is playing a very dangerous game. You know that you have to be sellers at this point. I don't think you can think that you actually have an opportunity to make the playoffs with this roster. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. You have to be sellers because that's what's best for this organization. So who are the guys that we're selling? Chapman is one of those guys, right? Sonny Gray is the other guy that we're selling, that we know we're not going to move on with them starting next season. But when I say that he's playing a dangerous game, Chapman is 38 years old, y'all. He's 38. And Father Time is undefeated. And you've seen him go out there. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury. You've seen in the last two outings, it hasn't been clean. Today, he struggled with his command in that entire inning. At what point do you tell yourself, okay, what we need to do is we need to sell. This is our biggest price right here, along with Sonny Gray. Before things go south, and they can go south very quickly, you need to put him out there in the market. Not wait until a week before the trade deadline. We're talking about now. Go out there, look at what organizations are in need of an arm, right? And arguably the best arm prior to these shaky outings in Major League Baseball, and go out there and pitch him and see what you can get. Of course, with Sonny Gray, I think he's 8-1, 9-1. He's one of the best pitchers. If he were on a winning team, he'd be in that conversation for the Cy Young. Go out there and see what you can get. This whole idea that you're going to wait to see until weeks before the trade deadline because you're not sure if this team is either on the buyer or seller market is just ridiculous. And that just speaks to who Craig Breslow is, right? As a GM, he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room when he's actually not. The right move right now before things get worse is to go out there and be sellers, and you know who you have to go out there and sell.
Yeah, like I said before, the win was very nice tonight, but I don't think it's enough to buy in, obviously, just yet on being buyers, of course. I don't think he gets fired as much as I think he deserves to be. I mean, guys have gotten fired for less around here. Dombrowski got fired late 2019, right? We missed the playoffs that year because of a slow start, but you're still less than a year removed from a world championship, less than a year removed from the best Red Sox team of all time, and he got canned. And for whatever reason, Breslow gets to continue to make to call the shots and make the decisions here. And I think they're not ready to concede defeat, even if internally they've accepted that they're going to be sellers. I don't think publicly they can say that just yet for a lot of reasons. Probably the main one being, well, fans would be in an uproar. Fans are already in an uproar. And if they went out and said sellers, even though we know that they should be sellers, if they came out and admitted defeat, we can all just throw our hands up and say, see, we told you, we knew you couldn't do it. Right. And so obviously he can't do it from that perspective. He can't do it from his own job perspective. But also, I think they kind of view it as though this is a quality product. This is why people come to watch. They want to come see Yoshida lead off for the Red Sox. You know, they want to come see Gasper and these guys play. I think they really do drink their own juice there. Yeah. And I think what's going to happen is, yes, they're going to lie to us and say that they're in it, and then they're not going to end up doing anything major at the trade deadline. There's right. been a few significant trade deadline moves over the past few years that did not happen that could have set us up for real success this year. I think outside of last year, there was real cases to actually be sellers in those previous years. And then last year when we were quote-unquote buyers, we ended up with who? Dustin May and Steven Matz. I mean, yeah. Not that those guys are terrible. Obviously, May was terrible. I think we cut him, right. DFA'd him at five starts. Matz pitched okay. But, I mean, that's not buying at the deadline. That's just moving, you know, trading a pawn for another pawn and saying, ah, we were active, you know, and just confusing activity with progress there. So I think we're looking at something like that right now. I don't think Chapman's going anywhere. It's a fair point about his age. You know, certainly if we look at the last week, he's been struggling a little bit, a couple of base runners tonight. He did get the save, made a nice play at the end of the game too, by the way. Another just great defensive play to end the game. One was against the Yankees tonight and one was against the Braves a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. So yeah. The guy's just a gamer, honestly. I really like seeing him pitch for the Sox. I don't think he moves Chapman. I think if anybody who – it's almost he's pitching too good not to move, and that's Sonny Gray. 9-1, pretty impressive considering he's 9-1, and I think our record, is still 8 or 9 games above 500 when he pitches, so he's got some no decisions in there. And the team itself is now 13 games under 500, right? So if you remove Sonny Gray from the equation, we are looking at just 20 games below 500. Who knows? So I think he's kind of the only just obvious move. And that even that is probably dependent on Crochet's status or even Bayo's status, right? Because I still don't think that they're going to come and trot out a non, kind of a developmental guy for the fifth roster spot or the fifth rotation spot. So I think we're actually probably looking at the roster as is, and they'll do some sort of we'll flip a AAA guy for another AAA guy who will see some big league time later this year. But ultimately, they're not going to do enough to move the needle one way or another, and we're going to ride. We're going to ride on fumes out to the season, and probably looking at no season for next year too. So I wish things were different. I wish we would get the breaking news. Craig Breslow has been relieved of his duties, but I don't see it happening this year. And it's not because he hasn't been doing a good job. It's because situationally, the Red Sox don't really benefit from it, right? I think we have the Major League Draft coming up soon, which ironically I found myself thinking about earlier today and looking into draft status and draft picks, because I'm starting to think, well, does it make more sense for us to just start tanking for that number one overall pick? And you can tell that I'm not used to that situation because I had no idea that now it's kind of like a basketball lottery situation. So I don't even know when that changed, but it's concerning that I'm already thinking about that in June here, because my entire life as a Red Sox fan, I've never once thought about the MLB draft at any point in
never.
This.
Nope.
Charlie made a good point. He said that the Red Sox are probably waiting until he breaks the record before trading him, because of course that's something the Red Sox would end up doing. So that is a good point. But let me tell you this. If the Red Sox do not trade Chapman and Sonny Gray, this fan base is going to lose its mind, because there's no way that your two best pieces, those are your two best assets at this point, to kind of reset things going forward into the future. Because, of course, we don't know what's happening next season. So we might be talking about the 2028 season. If you don't trade these two pieces, who are your only two best assets right now, because you've convinced yourself, and by you I mean Breslow, you've convinced yourself that you can still compete in this league. I know the American League is terrible, but you're bottom feeders, so you're not in that conversation. If you really have convinced yourself that you can compete in this American League, then I don't know. He's never going to get a job ever again once he's gone from this organization. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, his track record's not looking too good. I mean, no. I truly think it's going to be a very dormant or, you know, non-exciting trade deadline one way or another. We're going to be underwhelmed regardless, just as we have been the last few, right? I think, who was the guy? James Paxton, we re-signed. James Paxton or Rich Hale, we always end up with, like, it's just ridiculous. Nonsensical trade deadline acquisitions that just amplify the non-seriousness of some of the decisions by the front office. And they just want to keep this kind of mediocre team with quote unquote stars in the lineup so that fannies are in the seats there. Right. I think though, with that being said, and I don't think they're going to be making any flashy moves. I would like to see them trim some fat off the roster. And I'm talking about Yoshida. I'm talking about Trevor Story. Find a way to just get those guys off the roster and get the other guys in there playing. We've said it before. It's looking more and more like a developmental year. A guy like Yoshida brings, honestly, what does he bring to the table? He can't play defense. He can't run. He clearly can't hit right now. And when he does hit, it's not for power. So really, he's just clogging up a DH spot. That we already have three catchers and Masataka Yoshida. That's four roster spots from guys who, Narvaez is playing good defensively, right? And Wong shows some flashes, but man, those are four major league roster spots taken up by those guys. And we haven't even talked about, you know, some of the other guys like Monasterio or I guess Caleb Dervin is starting to hit his way out of that conversation. But, you know, find a way to just bite the bullet, say, thanks, Masa. We appreciated it. It didn't work out. Yeah. We're going to let you go. I think Story carries a little more value in the sense of he is at least a veteran. You know, the clubhouse guy, the leadership stuff does carry a little weight. That seems to be his only quality attribute as a big leaguer. But, you know, I don't think Masa's bringing that with him. Story's at least a little athletic. I think if you put him at second base, he becomes a more valuable player than when he's at shortstop. You know, maybe you don't end up getting rid of both of them. Maybe somebody takes a flyer on Story and you can somehow move him to another organization. But I would just love to see them, you know, trim some of that fat, get some of those guys off. And even if you just brought in a couple relievers and just said, hey, we do think some of these guys will figure it out, but these are the tweaks we need to make, which is, you know, guys taking up roster spots that are really not dynamic enough to provide, you know, major league value, or I don't know how you equate the wars, right? But they have, you know, negative war is you're basically a bench player or worse. Positive war means you're better than a, you know, substitute. And I think I don't have Masa's up right now, but he's got to be negative war. We probably have a handful of negative war guys. So let's start making some adjustments. If you're not part of our future and you got a negative war, you're gone, right? Where are those numbers coming into play from Craig's magical spreadsheets there? But I think you can still find some ways to make good decisions for the future, which right now, unfortunately, that future is looking like, 2028 till we get maybe a decent season. Maybe we get above 500 by 2028.
I mean, but you would be saying that the Red Sox at that point would be willing to eat up the money. Nobody wants Yoshida. That's why they weren't able to move him up to this point. and they're kind of forcing him to play the DH spot. You know, they're platooning every single position, but they're forcing him into that DH spot because nobody wants him, especially not for the money. And guess what? The Red Sox, if they've shown anything at all, is that they want to save money. That's what they went out there. They took that first offer with Devers, despite the return not being as great. The best return that they got was that the Giants ate up all that money. That's all they care about. So if nobody's willing to at least eat up half of that contract, I think he has $38 million left. The Red Sox aren't going to eat that, especially with the future of baseball being in the balance. They're not going to eat that. So we're going to have to deal with Yoshida on this roster, having him in there with the ground balls to second, because that's what he does, right? Like, just every single time you look at the game,
just Yoshida spikes it in the second.
Spikes it to second base. That's his game. Spike. No, that's who Yoshida is, man.
But he has a 100% stolen base success rate. All right, so smart, the guy is valuable as runner. It gets.
Smart base runner. I can't take that away.
Look, he and Juan, just to clarify, because I don't think he's worth a bucket of balls either. The only way you're getting rid of him is by cutting him, DFAing him, and eating whatever the money goes along with it. Yeah. But speaking of money, right, we're draining some money. We're leaking some money out in Worcester right now. Who wouldn't want to see Christian Campbell up there in the DH spot instead of Yoshida, right? I mean, look, they're both going to probably put up the same numbers. At least Campbell can try to figure it out, try to hit up a big league pitcher. And, you know, at least you're giving him a chance to figure it out. I know he's been struggling in AAA, and it makes no sense to call him up. But I'm just saying, as a fan who, you know, still has to and wants to watch some of these games, I would much rather see Campbell in there over Massa any day of the week right now. I've had enough of him.
What could it hurt giving him a week or something?
I'm definitely not on that boat. I'm done with Campbell. He looks lost to AAA, guys. Come on. No, the next move for Campbell is figure out a team to trade him to. I don't know. Try to build them up in AAA, which they haven't been able to do. He's lost. That kid is lost. I want nothing to do with Campbell. Eat up the money with Yoshida. That's the right move. Just eat up the money and go figure out who you want to put there in the DH pile. Put Contreras there if you're going to keep him moving forward, and get yourself another first baseman. But no, Campbell, I'm out. I'm out on him.
I think anybody on the team right now, though, Eaton, Siegler, Monasterio, you'll take any of those bats over Massa right now. And just the fact that you got him batting leadoff because he got, you know, two career hits off Butler, you know, I guess we'll bat him leadoff now. Let's just be done with it. Let's make some decisions that will actually benefit the future of the team. He's not helping win any ball games. He never has. He hit that one game-winning home run against the Yankees a few years back. I think that's about it, but I think it's time to move on from Massa, and it's nothing personal, Massa. I did want you to work out, but anyways, any other thoughts on the game tonight before we move into matchups for tomorrow? No. All right. So tomorrow, I think we've got, did you say Peyton Tolley? And I think it's versus Will Warren. I think that's a rematch from the last series, right?
Yeah,
I believe so.
I got him up in a tab here somewhere. But Juan, let's start with you. Yeah, Warren versus Tolley.
Yes, so I don't think they did match up against each other. At least I'm not seeing that on my air. But Warren in his last five starts, he's 4-5. He had that really bad outing, his last outing against the Cincinnati Reds. You know, allowed 6 runs, 2 earned run, had 8 strikeouts. Are the Red Sox able to get to him is going to be the question here. I think Tolley is going to have one of those outings where he allows maybe 2, 3, 4 runs. And we're going to say that he allowed too many runs because the offense just couldn't put up runs against Will Warren, despite being able to put up runs against Cam Schlittler. I think it's going to be one of those games. And I'm going to keep the streak going. I pick against the Red Sox. They end up winning. So, hey, I'm going to pick against them again because I just think it's going to be one of those games.
Yeah, I actually agree. And last night I picked first to win 1 out of 3. I picked to win Sunday because I'm just not picking against Sonny Gray right now. That's how good he's been looking. So that was my one game. So I don't think we're going to sweep. So I do think Tolley will pitch well. He'll pitch good enough to win, but we won't win because the offense won't show up for him per usual. The Yankees are still a very good team, very dangerous team, and all Tolley has to do is give up 3 or 4 and we're in trouble.
Yeah, both likely scenarios. Before I give my long-awaited pick for Dougie, you are star-striped and stars and striped out right now. You're USA'd out. That's got to be for the soccer game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a score for our listeners?
We're down 2-1 at half right now.
2-1 at half. We need some magic. We need some USA magic right now.
Yeah, they definitely need to play better. But, I mean, we're on to the next round either way, but, you know, we want to be 3-0. You know, we want to be pushing to be the best team we've ever seen here in USA.
Absolutely. Want to keep that momentum going. Well, yeah. You know, technically it's meaningless, but again, we want this. We want the momentum definitely heading into that next round. Speaking of momentum, right, the Red Sox are usually unable to spark any, if at all. Yeah, I think it's looking like a Yankees win, but it just feels right now like the Yankees are in a weird spot. I know they're the top team in the AL, but without Judge and without Stanton, I feel like this could be an opportunity for Tolley to just go out and sling it again tomorrow. I'm going to go crazy and just go the Red Sox, carry some energy, and they get a win tomorrow, and then they lose two in the over the weekend, and it's a split series. But why not? They're already the worst team in baseball, so let's just so it can't get any worse. I'm going Sox. I think Tolley gets into the seventh tomorrow. I think he's been knocking on the door, some pretty decent starts. Obviously, we've seen what his ceiling can be at times. I think that start he had against the Yankees, he struck out, what, the first five batters he saw? Nine or something overall. Yeah. So I think he goes into the seventh tomorrow. And I mentioned we made some history tonight with our fourth straight start with nine Ks, fourth straight starter with nine or more Ks.
Yeah,
I think we do it again tomorrow. Five straight starters, nine or more Ks.
I like that.
Okay. Tolley goes into the seventh. He gives us something to cheer for, you know, at least here late in June. Again, it's going to be meaningless at the end of the season because we are looking at the last place finish either way. But Tolley comes out, shoves in against the Yankees, and we get another W here. Go up 2-0 on this early series against the Yankees. That's my call. Any thoughts before we drop?
The bold predictions, brother. That's what that is right there. But hey, listen, what do we have left, right? Like, come on.
We got nothing to lose. We can't go any lower, right? Well, that'll do it. This has been the Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. For more content, you can check out the Bastards.